We're going to look at the contrast with last week. So remember last week we learned that if we will choose to walk uprightly, walk for the Lord, He will bless us. So what's the contrast of that? But if we choose to walk foolishly, the opposite will be true. We will suffer the consequences. You reap what you sow. It's a very consistent theme all throughout Scripture. And so today we're going to look at the contrast of last week, and that is what I'm calling the fruits of foolishness. And by the way, that word fool or foolishness is 84 times in the book of Proverbs. That's a lot. And so today we will look at that great truth. So let's start in chapter 10. Look at verses 1 and 2, and then we'll look at a bunch of scriptures together and find out the opposite side of what we looked at last week, and that is if we choose to walk foolishly, we will suffer the consequences. As we saw last week, if we choose to walk uprightly, we will enjoy the blessings. So, Proverbs chapter 10, Mr. Scott, could you read verses 1 and 2 to introduce us?
Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son, maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the wickedness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing but righteousness delivered from death.
So a foolish son, it says, is the heaviness of his mother, and it says the treasures of wickedness profit nothing. The treasures of wickedness. So we're going to focus today on the treasures of wickedness or the fruits of foolishness contrasted with what we saw last week. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that what we learned would help us to focus on obeying you and walking in your ways, that we would learn things that would guide us, and Lord, that we would focus on hearing from you. Guide us now in your truth through your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So the foolish son versus the wise son, it's kind of a theme of Proverbs, and it's up to us to make that choice. Do we walk uprightly, or are we a foolish child of God? It's up to us. So the foolish son, we'll focus on that first, which mentioned there in chapter 10, verse 1. Let's see what it says. So let's look at some of the fruits of that. The first one we see in verse 1, it says, the heaviness of his mother. Let's look at that again, 17:25. Brother Howard, if you would read that for us. And Mark 19:13. So these are the fruits of being a foolish son. So Brother Howard, chapter 17, verse 25.
A foolish son is the grief of his father, and bitterness to her that bear him.
Okay, and then Mark 19:13.
A foolish son with the calamity of his father and the contentions of a wife are continual dropping.
So again, we see that one of the fruits is sorrow to the parents. But there's other fruits too. So let's look at some more. Chapter 19, verse 26. Any volunteers over here? Knight and Maggie, could you read that for us?
He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach.
So we've got shame. 26:11. Who over here is willing to read? Any volunteers? Doug, 26:11. And Kelvin, if you could do 28:1. So fools just keep going back to the folly. And then Kelvin 28:1.
The wicked flee with no man to sue, the righteous hold as a lion.
So the wicked live in fear. And then 28:7. Any more volunteers over here before we go back? Any other volunteers that I've missed before I start over with Brother Scott? Roy, 28:7. Amen. We'll just look at two more. 29:3. It says, whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. And then 29:15. 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So notice we're seeing the fruits, if you will, of foolishness. Now, the other phrase we saw there in chapter 10, verse 2, was the treasures of wickedness. So does wickedness bring with it treasures? Yes, it does. But they're not the kind of treasures that we want, as we'll see. So let's look at that. Chapter 13, verse 11, Mother Scott, we're looking at the treasures of wickedness in 21, verse 6, Howard, and 22, 16, Brother Mark. So 13, 11. So notice, if you get wealth by vanity, it'll be diminished. And then Howard, 21:6.
Heaping of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro by him that seek death.
And then 22:16, Brother Mark.
He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to naught.
Amen. And then 28:6, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. So the treasures of wickedness, not what we should desire. And then look at chapter 13, verse 15. We're talking here about the fruits of foolishness, the treasures of wickedness, which is the contrast of walking uprightly and being blessed. Notice 13, verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. That's exactly what God says when he says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, in Galatians chapter 6. That we reap what we sow, the way of transgressors is hard. And that is one of the themes of Proverbs. So let's look at more of those. Chapter 1, verse 31, Kelvin, and chapter 4, verse 19, Doug, and 14:14, Brad. So the way of transgressors is hard. 131, Kelvin.
Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices.
What's that saying? You reap what you sow. And then 419, Doug.
The way of the wicked is darkness, and they know not what they stumble.
And in 14:14. So there it is again, filled with his own ways. You reap what you sow. 14:9, could you read that for us, Roy?
Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor.
Fools make a mock at sin. Fools make fun of sin or make it a joke. It's not a joke, is it? Sin is very serious to the Lord. God is holy and he hates sin. So God is talking here about the fruits of foolishness and the treasures of wickedness. Notice chapter 15, verse 8. Very important truth. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Look at that contrast. You try to offer sacrifices unto the Lord, but if you're living as a fool, or as a wicked, God says it's an abomination, that sacrifice. But the prayer of the upright, we looked at last week, is his delight. So this is the contrast between choosing to walk uprightly according to God's word or to choose to walk wickedly or foolishly in contrast to God's word. And let's look at some more. So chapter 26 is... The first 11 verses is, if you will, a treatise from the Lord on the fool. And like I said, the word fool or foolish shows up in Proverbs over 80 times. So it's definitely one of the themes of Proverbs. But chapter 26, Brother Scott, just by way of introduction, could you read verses 1 through 11?
There's snow in summer and there's rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. There's the bird by wandering as the swallow, by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so it is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honour to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things, both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly.
And 12, sorry.
Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him.
So there, you know, at Proverbs, very infrequently do we have entire passages on a single theme, as you know. There are some, like chapter 31, which we'll look at, the virtuous woman. But here we have a 12-verse passage on the fool, which must mean it's pretty important that we understand what God is teaching us. So let's look at it, just kind of walk through this together. So in verse 1, honor is not seemly for a fool. And then in verse 8, it says, he that giveth honor to a fool is foolish as well. So God says that honor is not to be given to a fool, and it's not seemly for a fool. And as we've seen, instead, he'll receive shame for living a foolish life. The foolish are to be avoided, as we've seen in the scriptures. Then that notice down in verse 3, it says, and a rod for the fool's back. So what they deserve is to be what? What's he mean when he says a rod for the fool's back? What do they deserve? To be punished, right?
Yes.
And God will take care of that. And we've seen how they despise their parents' instruction. They cause shame for their parents and so forth. And if you look at 19:29... he expounds on it a little bit more. He says it again. Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. So again, we see where God says that they deserve the rod. They deserve punishment. Now, on verses 4 and 5 are very interesting, aren't they? What is God teaching us there about the fool? First he says, verse 4, answer not a fool, but then he says in verse 5 to answer a fool. Now very often we as Christians, we use verse 4, don't we? Someone comes to us with something or an attack or whatever, or they say something that's way off base, and we say, well, we'd rather not answer a fool according to his folly. Because we're just going to make things worse. But then in verse 5 he says to answer a fool according to his folly. So do we not answer or do we answer? What is the answer? Come on. So we do have to use discernment, exactly, to know in the situation, do we answer or do we not answer? So we're constantly quoting verse 4. Answer not a fool to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. So if it's something that is going to draw you into sin, say it's an anger thing and you want to respond with anger, God says don't do it. Or if it's, let's say it's way off base doctrinally, and if you get involved and you're not really prepared spiritually to argue this doctrine, it's going to drag you down. So we have to use biblical discernment to know, do I answer or do I not answer? Because he says in verse 5, to answer him, lest he be wise in his own conceits. So if you have the spiritual maturity to help him learn and grow through this, lest he, like it says, be wise in his own conceits and thinks he's got all the answers and so forth, then you answer and you correct him. So it has a lot to do with where you are, but it also has to do with where the Holy Spirit's giving you the discernment to know where he or she is spiritually. Are they going to respond, or is it just going to make things worse? Will they be corrected about being wise in their own conceit, or will it just drag you down? That's not that easy, is it, to know? And that's when we need to rely on the Lord, make sure that our heart's in the right place before we answer a fool according to his folly. So verses 4 and 5, very important for Christians. And we're going to look at it later when we talk more about the reproof thing. But we have to depend on God's wisdom in these situations. Do I answer the fool or do I not answer the fool? Because they're both there. Yes, Brother Mark? Actually, it's Psalms 53. The whole fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
The word fool, the truth word, means wicked. So in a sense there, you can do stupid, foolish things, but it's trying to differentiate between being foolish and being wicked. They're the different buttons. In some of the context, the fool, in a sense, means wicked.
And that is true. Foolishness is wickedness. So let's look at this a bit more. Verse 4, let's look at some other verses to see if it helps. First it says, to not answer, lest what? Lest you'll be like him. So if it's going to negatively affect your walk with the Lord, if it's going to drag you down into the mud with him, God says don't answer, right? So let's look at some other scriptures on this, see if we can get some light. 17:10. Howard, if you could read that for us. And 27:22, Brother Mark.
A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool.
So fools tend to not listen to reproof, right? So Brother Mark, number 27:22. And then 29:9, Roy, if you would. There is what?
There is no rest.
No rest. So if he's not going to listen to the reproof, and you're going to have to rely on the Lord for this, if it's going to be a waste of time to answer the fool according to his folly, it doesn't help him and it doesn't help you. God says, don't do it. And this is where, if we know we're not spiritually mature enough to do it, then what? The answer is easy. Don't do it. Just stop. Don't drag it on. Don't make it worse by answering. So that's verse 4. But now at verse 5, it says, to answer him, lest he be wise in his own conceits. So let's look at this a little bit more. So Proverbs 12:15, Brother Kelvin, if you could read that. So the way of a fool, of course, is right in his own eyes. He believes he's doing the right thing, even though he's not. And then Brother Doug, 14:16.
The wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident.
And then 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, he that trusteth in his own heart. So, don't answer if he's not going to listen to reproof and if it's not going to benefit your Christianity and you're not spiritual enough to answer. But do answer if you believe that it can help correct him at being right in his own eyes because he's wise in his own conceits and you believe that you can possibly benefit him by answering and correcting him or reproving him. Where is that line? You have to rely on the Lord there. If any of you lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God. So we're talking here about the fruits of foolishness, the treasures of wickedness, and embedded in that is our response to foolishness. Do we answer a fool according to his folly, or do we not answer a fool according to his folly? We have to rely on the Lord to know which. So let's go back to chapter 26, where we're looking at this treatise on foolishness, verses 1 to 12. So the next thing we see, verse 6, he says what? Don't depend on a fool, right? He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. In other words, don't trust the fool to help you send a message or deliver a message. You can't trust them. So if it's a foolish person, you don't rely on them. And, you know, people learn this that own businesses all the time, don't they? They don't rely on the foolish. They sack them instead. And then in 7 and 9, it says they cannot handle a parable. It says in 7, the legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Verse 9, as a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. They can't handle parables. Because, as we've seen in these other scriptures, their tongue is foolish, they have a prideful tongue, and they can't control their tongue, and so forth. So a parable in the mouth of a fool is useless. And then, of course, verse 11. A fool returns to his folly. And we have a verse in Peter that's similar, don't we, about the dog returning to his vomit. God made dogs, so he knows how dogs behave. And they're one of the only animals that do this. And then he likens a fool or a Christian that turns their back on the Lord, as we see in Peter, to a dog returning to his vomit. Because as we've seen, fools make a mock at sin. Fools, if you look at 19 verse 3, they fret against the Lord. It says, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. So, one of the signs of a fool is he keeps going back to the folly. Keeps going back and doing the same thing over and over again. So, very interesting passage on foolishness, but what we're being taught here is what? Walk uprightly. Don't walk foolishly, or we will suffer the consequences. So in chapter 30, we'll turn there, he finishes by talking about a wicked generation. So not only an individual fool, but now he talks about an entire generation that's foolish. And as we read it, I want you to be amazed at how up to date it is, even though it was written 3,000 years ago. Brad, why don't you read that for us, verses 11 to 14 of chapter 30. And as he reads this, it's almost like it was written for today.
There is a generation that curseth their father, and doth not curse their mother. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from under the moon.
I'm sorry, I meant 11 through 14. So go ahead and do 12 and 13 too.
There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation that are lofty over their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up.
So, verse 11. There's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Does Satan want to destroy the family? Yes, he does, because he knows that is the foundational unit of society. And so he's been attacking the family for 6,000 years. He says there's a generation. We find ourselves in the middle of it, do we not? That curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. This is the fruits of foolishness. Then it says, There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, but not washed from their filthiness. A generation that says, there's no such thing as sin, because there's no God. So there's no standard of right and wrong. Sound familiar? They're pure in their own eyes. In other words, everybody just does what he wants to, and there really isn't right or wrong. And then there's a generation that is, where were we? Where am I? I got lost. About the, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. A generation of pride. And we certainly find that today, don't we? People think they've got it all figured out, especially now that we have all this knowledge available on the internet. Their eyes are lifted up, our eyelids are lifted up, they're proud. And it's amazing how well this ties in with those passages in 1 and 2 Timothy about the last days. Disobedient to parents, proud, high-minded, same thing. And yet God wrote it through Solomon 3,000 years ago. And then, of course, then this generation, verse 14, mistreats others. Their teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. So the ultimate fruit of foolishness we see here is society is ruined. Now later we're going to look at the scriptures to talk about how blessed society is when the righteous rule, and how cursed society is when the foolish rule. Well, that's what we're seeing here. So the fruits of foolishness, as we see, is another way of saying you reap what you sow. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. As we saw last week, what does God want us to do? He wants us to walk according to this. Amen? Walk uprightly. And if we are walking foolishly, we're going to suffer the consequences.